Good morning, everyone. I am here talking on my citizen science series that I did with Girl Scouts. It's part of a 6-week-long series that we did with kids, and it was a lot of fun. So environmental science issues, I don't have to tell you guys this, but the environmental science issues keep coming in bigger and bigger volume because we need more food, and there's way more people, and there really isn't enough people coming into our science fields, especially in ag, soils, agronomy, and engineering. So there's a critical need for women in science. Over 50% of the total graduates from all university undergraduate programs are women, yet only 25% are in the STEM fields. So this is why I target the female population. So it's my job, our job, to fix this. We need to teach about science and the environment, provide lots of hands-on applications with a lot of experience, provide mentorship to these girls, and give opportunities for them to do leadership and teamwork to inspire the next generation. So this is part of my environmental science series, and they do this. And this is the second citizen science series that I ran. The first one was in soils, and this one's in agronomy. So our major project goals was to create an agronomy program that embraces the local food culture for 6th to 12th graders. We wanted them to develop scientific proficiency in agronomy, soil science, and plant physiology, and gain problem-solving skills, because those are really what our employers demand right now. You need the technical knowledge and the ability to reason through and solve these problems. Kids do that really well, by the way. And we want them to be able to grow in personal and professional ways and become environmental advocates for the local food movement in their communities. We did this on a 30-acre environmental and horticultural farm that belongs to the Durham Public Schools. We are located between Northern Durham High School, a Carroll Middle School, and an Eno Valley Elementary School, and we are literally less than walking distance from both. We are also within walking distance of a public library, and we currently run programs through the public library as well. So our site is on the northern part of, you see all the little stripy things? Our site's the tilled area just to the north of that. And it was originally established as a cover cropping and cash cropping site. And I will explain to you why all of my lovely plans blew up. But we tilled the site in early 2014. It hasn't been used as farmland since the 70s. And I planted sweet sorghum in by hand after it stopped raining. And then the day I planted, it stopped raining. Period. We had 6 total plants germinate out of the entire, I think it's a 150 square foot area. So we needed to come and replan. So we planted pumpkins in July, which is about the last you can do it before you get pumpkins for Halloween. And we also used PRS probes from Western Ag Innovations. They measure the in situ movement of nutrients in the soil, so the plant available nutrients in cations and anions. They were kind enough to donate these to our program. So go check them out in the exhibit center. That's my shameless plug for someone who donated lots of time and effort to my project. And then I had student interns, high school girls, measure germinations and height in August. And then we started to cry. Because no matter how much organic pesticides and organic treatment we did, we still ended up with horrible squash borers, even though I was out there literally spraying with neem like every 12 hours. And it was the worst year on record for downy mildew in North Carolina. Everything died. Again. So, I still had to do this program in September, so we ended up deciding, well, all right, let's troubleshoot why things died. And by the way, farming is hard. Those were our two major outcomes of this project. Anyways, we ended up with a total of 12 girls coming in and out of this program, averaged about 7 a week. We tried to make it a little flexible to get more girls. It didn't work, so we're not going to do that model anymore. But we did an introduction to agronomy, like the basic lots and lots of people, growing people, need food type of stuff. And we explained the site background, essentially me weeping, showing them pictures of what could have been, and did some basic plant physiology stuff. And we then harvested some of the sweet potatoes on the farm and used the and brought them down to the farmer's market at the entrance of the gate so the girls could see people coming in and actually buying the produce that we sold. And the second week, we started doing some basic soil physical properties because, you know, plants don't really grow well unless you know what's in your soil. So we have physical properties and soil horizonation. So we made the amazing large cupfuls of soil pudding. And then we went into soil color, profile samples, and the relationship between water and nutrients. So in this day, we showed them the moisture content of what was going on when we took moisture samples, and they were able to point out, wow, there's a lot of red on this map, meaning there's no water in this soil right now. And then we showed them what happens when we got it wet and took samples a little bit later, and they're like, there's way too much water in this soil, isn't there? Yes. So we had them profile sample all the way down our plot, and they could see the rhizomorphic features, we called them freckles, that grew in these particular plots. In retrospect, from a soil physical standpoint, there's a reason this farm didn't succeed in the 70s. In the fourth week, we got really into the nutrient mapping. We had them, they have the little, at the garden center, we have the little nutrient, the nutrient vials that you can take. So we had them do that and then check the difference between the results from the PRS probes. So we handed them some maps and they figured out, well, this is why the pumpkins were shorter here, this is why the pumpkins were taller there, because of these different nutrient concentrations. And it turns out our nitrogen at the top of the hill at our site was like 15 times what their average value is. And at the bottom of the site, it was half of their average value. So there's a whole bunch of spatial variability. So the girls were like, seriously? That much spatial variability in that little spot? And I'm like, well, that's why we do this. It's fun, isn't it? Never know what we're going to get. So, and then we also measured pH. And made some diagnosis about our crop failures. So essentially, physical limitations as well as some major nutrient heterogeneity that really was not allowing us to grow things. They still had fun. Failure is okay. That was another valuable lesson we learned. The fifth week, we decided to really embrace the local foods, and we created a meal that traveled in total 175 miles for all of the ingredients that you see on the table. So we had mushrooms and carrots and all that kind of stuff. And as part of this program, we had them create their own final project about issues of agronomy that actually mattered to them. And we had the girls, some of them actually did, the girls on the left up here did a talk on GMOs. And they were very fervently anti-GMO. GMOs were the worst thing since the sun came up. And me being a teacher, I decided to push their buttons. And at the end, they were like, well, maybe there's a lot more we need to think about. Why did they come up? They came into being for a reason. I actually understand that reason now. So they did a very good job describing some of the really complicated subtle nuances, and I told them, it's okay, you don't have to be pro-GMO, I just wanted you to think about it. And some of the girls did a talk on poultry and the impact that poultry manure and poultry housing has on nutrient concentrations and the environmental impacts. And a couple of them did a, this is the Durham Hub Farm, look at all our local food that we produce for markets. We had quite a bit of fun. If you've ever seen the Cool Bean Soybean book, we had a little girl write a story called Sally the Strawberry, and she talked about, like, they talked about some of the problems that strawberry producers face. I was very proud of them. Each of them created a video, a debate, a handout of some sort, and they got to take that and use that as class projects or projects for the Girl Scout, some of the Girl Scout awards in the environmental science realm. So they did a really good job, and all in all, I'm very proud of them. So nobody knew what agronomy was when we started. They all know what it is now. We increased knowledge of and awareness of agronomy in all of our participants. We touched on multiple cultures, multiple backgrounds, multiple socioeconomic statuses with this project. And one of the girls is still actually volunteering at the farm running programs for the high school, nearby high schoolers. And a lot of them gained a new appreciation of how hard it is to grow food and how important it is to have a local food scene around them. And Durham, North Carolina is one of the foodie capitals of the world. And we actually had a lot of fun visiting some of the local restaurants as well. And they gained a new understanding of spatial variability in nutrient content and soil properties and just how complicated even one, 150 by 12 square foot or 150 by 12 foot plot is. There's a lot of complicated things that go on inside of it. And I blew their mind by bringing in a little container and says, there's so much microbial diversity in there, you could just take little itty-bitty cores in there and find the same thing. And they were like, whoa. It was fun. So they got their final topic on agronomy for use in their school projects, and they gained access to a mentor and career exposure in a critical needs STEM area. So we would like to thank the Durham Hub Farm for use of space. The Durham Public Libraries was very generous with their some of the technology that we needed, projectors. North Carolina State, where I'm based out of, because I stole a lot of the soil testing equipment out of the lab, put it back now, and Western Ag Innovations for the PRS probes. And this project was originally funded by a Reinvest ASA grant. So that is all I have.
Thank you. So we have about 2 minutes for questions.
Yes, Paul. She asked about tying things to a badge opportunity for Girl Scouts, and that is on my bucket list 5-year plan from now. I've got it outlined, but being able to do I have it approved at the local level, and we called it's part of a science in action program that they had. But getting it approved at a national level is very difficult because the Girl Scouts have decided within the last 10 years to get rid of almost every one of their badges that they had. So we have to make it a special programs badge. So I've got some contacts at the National Girl Scout Center in New York, and we're working on it. It's a slow process. And also the technical knowledge across the country isn't necessarily there to pull it off yet. Yes, Melanie. Our Reinvest ASA grant was only $10,000, which is both a lot of money and no money at all when it comes to targeting. So our projects were available for the public schools to look at and observe, but we need to be able to make like signs or something more educational that says this is what this is. We eventually scrapped the cover cropping idea and completely and totally brought in like 15 cubic tons of compost or something, and so the entire site now is about like 2 to 3 feet above the other one. So they now growing productively strawberries there at the moment. But yeah, so.
Well, I was curious more from the standpoint of having to work, if you were working with the school system, how you got around all of the issues we've talked about in the past with science standards and all of that. It sounds like you were kind of outside of having to deal with that.
The Girl Scouts provide a fantastic incubator opportunity to try out and test programs because they can charge admission. Like, we charge $10 per week per girl, and you can charge the admission. And they provide us with transport and technology. We have the use of iPads throughout the entire process. So I like using them as an incubator model before bringing it into the public schools because I don't need to care about curriculum or... We'll work on that. That's the next step.
Okay.